As Buckhut topped the hills above Highweald, he saw that the entire estate was bustling with unusual activity. Every one of the servants seemed frantically employed. The wagon drivers and the voorloopers, the lead boys, were bringing up the trek oxen from the kraals at the far end of the main paddock. They had inspanned 4 full teams of 12 bullocks each, which were trudging up the road to the homestead. Another group of herders had assembled small herds of fat-tailed sheep, milking cows with their unweaned calves, and spare trek bullocks, and were driving them slowly towards the north. They were already strung out over such a distance that the furthest of the small herds were specks almost obscured by their own dust.
"Already they are heading for the Kharip River Pass to meet Somoya,"
Buckhut nodded with satisfaction, and started down the hill towards the homestead. As soon as he entered the courtyard, he saw that the preparations for departure were well advanced. On the loading ramp of the warehouse, Tom Courtney was in his shirt sleeves, giving orders to the men who were packing the last chests of goods in the wagon beds.
"What's in that chest?" he demanded of one. "I don't recognize it."
"The mistress told me to load it. I do not know what it is," the man shrugged. "Woman's things, perhaps."
"Put it in the second wagon."
Tom turned and spotted Buckhut as he entered the yard.
"I saw you as soon as you came over the hill. You grow taller every day, Buckhut."
Buckhut grinned with pleasure, squared his shoulders and puffed out his chest a little. "I see your plan has worked, Klebe."
It was more a question than a statement.
Within a few hours of Bomvu taking the wagons out along the west coast, Kayser and all his men were after them, Tom laughed. "But I don't know how soon he'll realize that he's following the wrong game and come rushing back. We have to get clear as soon as we can."
"Klebe, I bring evil tidings."
Tom saw the little man's expression and his own smile faded.
"Come, we'll go where we can talk privately."
He led Buckhut into the warehouse and listened seriously as the little man related all that had happened during his foray into the mountains. He exclaimed with relief when he heard that their guess had proved correct and Buckhut had found Tom at Majuba.
"So, Somoya, Zama, and the girl will already have left Majuba and will be riding to the meeting place on the frontier at the Hill of the Baboon's Head," Buckhut went on.
"This is good news," Tom declared. "So why do you wear such a gloomy countenance?"
"I was followed," Buckhut admitted. "Somebody followed me to Majuba."
"Who was it?" Tom could not disguise his alarm.
"Esan," said Buckhut, "an adept of my tribe, one who could unravel my spoor, one who was watching for me to leave Highweald."
"Kayser's hunting dog," Tom exclaimed furiously.
"Clear," Buckhut agreed. "He tricked me, and even now he must be hurrying back to his master. Within the next day he will lead Kayser to Majuba."
"Does Somoya know he has been discovered by Clear?"
"I only discovered Kia's sign when I was halfway back from Majuba. I came on to warn you first," Buckhut said. "Now I can go back to find Somoya, warn him also, and lead him out of danger."
"You must reach him before Kayser catches up with him."
Tom's bluff features were twisted with anxiety.
"Kia must return to Majuba again before he can pick up Samoya's outgoing tracks. Kayser and his men will travel slowly, for they are unaccustomed to the mountain paths," Buckhut explained. "He will be forced to make a wide loop to the south. On the other hand, I can cut through the mountains further north, get ahead of them, and find Somoya before they do."
"Go swiftly, old friend," Tom told him. "I place the life of my son in your hands."
Buckhut bobbed his head in farewell.
"Somoya and I will be waiting for you at the Hill of the Baboon's Head."
Buckhut turned to leave, but Tom called him back.
"The woman,"
he broke off, unable to look at the little man's face.
"Is she still with him?" he asked gruffly,
and Buckhut nodded.
"What is she..."
Tom stopped, then tried to rephrase his question.
"Is she..."
Buckhut took pity on him.
"I have named her Welanga, for her hair is like sunlight."
"That is not what I wanted to know.
I think that Welanga will walk beside him for a long, long time, perhaps for the rest of his life. Is that what you wanted to know?"
Yes, Buckhut, that is exactly what I wanted to know." From the loading ramp he watched Buckart trot out of the gateway and take the path back towards the mountains. He wondered when last the little man had rested or slept, but the question was irrelevant. Buckart would keep on as long as his duty beckoned him. "Tom!" He heard Sarah call his name and turned to see her hurrying towards him from the kitchens. To his surprise, he saw that she was wearing breeches, riding boots, and a wide-brimmed straw hat tied down with a red bandana under her chin. What was Buckart doing here?
He's found Jim.
And the girl?
Yes, he nodded reluctantly. The girl also.
Then why aren't we ready to leave yet? She demanded.
We? He asked. We are going nowhere. But I will be ready to leave within the next hour.
She placed her clenched fists on her hips. He knew that that was the equivalent of the first rumbling of an active volcano about to erupt.
"Thomas Courtney," she said coolly, but the light of battle shone in her eyes. "James is my son, my only child. Do you think for one moment that I will sit here in my kitchen while you ride off to bid him farewell, possibly for ever?"
"I will give him your maternal love," he offered, "and when I return I will describe the girl to you in minute detail."
He argued a little longer, but when he rode out through the gates of High Weald, Sarah rode at his side. Her chin was up, and she was trying not to smile triumphantly. She glanced sideways at him and said sweetly, "Tom Courtney, you are still the most handsome man I have ever laid eyes upon, except when you were sulking."
"I'm not sulking. I never sulk," he said sulkily.
"I'll race you to the ford," she said. "Winner may claim a kiss."
She tickled the mare's rump with the switch she carried and bounded forward. Tom tried to hold the stallion, but he danced in a circle, eager to be after them.
"Damn it, all right, then."
Tom let him have his head. He had given the mare too much of a start, and Sarah was an expert horsewoman. She was waiting for him at the ford, with flushed cheeks and sparkling eyes. "Where is my kiss?" she asked. He leaned out of the saddle to take her in a bear hug.
"That's just an installment," he promised, as he set her back in the saddle. "You'll get the main payment tonight."